We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I think Ben's a facilitator, and I think that's what he does. I thought he did it great early on. Then after that, I thought they all got tired. You know, as the game went on, less and less driving happened. I think you guys are way more concerned about Ben scoring than I am. You know, I think Ben does so many things for this team to help us win. Scoring is, I'm telling you, the least thing that I'm concerned about.
That's Doc Rivers. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's welcomes back the best fans in the world at their flagship location on Packer Avenue in the Stadium District, plus their location inside the Wells Fargo Center and at Citizens Bank Park. Chickies and Pete's. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000. Then we'll talk about Ben Simmons and get back to your phone calls. Text the word BIKE to 72881. Text the word BIKE to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter will win $1,000. Powered by BetQL, let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. One more time, BIKE to 72881. Good luck. Another chance to win at 3 p.m. on Monday every day.
No, just at 4 p.m.
Oh, this is it.
Last day of the cash contest, baby.
Oh,
this is why it doesn't say it. Can't we just keep doing this? I like doing the...
You like the music?
I do. Because then you have a different one for 4 o'clock. Well, there you go. Second to last chance, BIKE to 72881. Do you know what song that's to, Ike? That song right there?
Well, it's a game show.
Game show. Dick Clark was the host.
Rockin' New Year's Eve?
No.
$25,000 Pyramid.
Okay, yeah, $25,000 Pyramid, yep. I remember $25,000 Pyramid, yes.
That was a good one.
Yep.
I like that one. All right, so Ben Simmons, oh, man, coming off a big win against the Nets where most of their starters weren't playing. He speaks to GQ magazine, and Ben says the following. It's the same with people all around me. I tell them all the time, yo, I'm defensive player of the year. I'm not even questioning it right now. I know I am. That's a fact. And numbers, certain stats are cool with certain players, but at the end of the day, you know, the example would be last night. I was supposed to guard Kevin Durant. I was supposed to guard Kevin Durant. We match up size-wise. KD's out. The next person I'm guarding is Kyrie. Like, who's doing that? There's not many players who are doing that. And to be doing it at a high level like that, I don't think there's anybody else really doing that. I mean, Kawhi, when he was really playing defense like that, of course, but it's not too many guys. And then the reporter said, and then the reporter said Kyrie had 37 last night. And he said, yeah, but we won. And his plus minus was negative two. Guess who else's plus minus was negative?
Who's?
Ben's. Ben's was, yes.
He didn't point that out, did he?
No, he didn't point that out. So, like, listen, Ike, like, seriously, let's just give him the award now. Defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could do that.
I kind of want to give it to him so they can shut up saying it. Like, and listen, I ride with the Sixers, but I don't need Doc Rivers from a month ago talking about Ben Simmons being a defensive player of the year. I don't need Ben Simmons every chance he gets saying he's defensive player of the year. Because you know why he's saying it and you know why Doc is saying it? Because they don't want us to focus on his offense.
Yeah,
they certainly want to change this narrative. Don't worry about his offense. That's not what he's here for. He's a defensive guy. That's just a way of saying he can't and he ain't and he won't shoot the ball. That's all that is. So instead of putting pressure on him to have to evolve his game and actually turn into a today's NBA player as a number one overall pick, air quotes, generational talent. We didn't get coined a generational talent because of your damn defensive prowess. The hell is wrong with you when you got a 7-2 defensive player of the year behind you? It's easy to play defense with Joel Embiid back there. Let's not leave that out, Doc. My goodness, this whole thing, let's shove it down everybody's throat that he's the defensive player of the year. And you know what? Quite frankly, we all here as Sixers fans feel he's in the conversation for defensive player of the year. But this is nothing but some cheap ploy to try to throw everybody off the scent of talking about his lack of offense. That's all this is. Yeah, now we're gonna name. Now he's the glove. He's Gary Payton now. Although Gary Payton could shoot and score 20 a game.
The glove.
I mean, that they right. That's what we're trying to coin Ben Simmons, right? That's what they want to turn this into.
Well,
don't
this
worry about the
Pippen.
Offense. Yeah, he's a defense. And believe me, Pippen gave you 21 a game.
Yep,
and got the team after Jordan left to the Eastern Conference Finals. You think Ben would have his team in the playoffs if he didn't have Joel Embiid?
So to your point, Mike,
yeah.
And to your point, and I will blame Doc Rivers for this, he has empowered Ben Simmons because you're exactly right. This is now a pivot point. Any of the Ben defenders, whether you're a fan,
mm-hmm.
you're in the media, you're Andrew Porter, or you're a coach, or now
let's not
Ben.
Take personal shots here.
Or now Ben, but that's
what
I think of. No, he does, because that's what you think of, because that's now the pivot point is, I'm not going to argue that he doesn't shoot anymore,
right.
Because that's a losing argument. That's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the best defensive player in the league, and that's that.
Yep.
Like, not even he's one of, or he's in, no, he's
no,
the best
he's
defensive
the best.
Player. End it now. It's like, look at the versatility. He can guard everybody, right? Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. Yes, he's a good defensive player. That's fine.
We know
but
that.
He's not maxed out to be a great defensive player. He's maxed out to not be a zero on offense, and that's what he's been in the playoffs. They're setting this up, Ike. This is being set up for him to have the same type of impact on offense in the playoffs as he has in previous years.
Yeah.
The difference is if you're the number one seed, the likelihood of you advancing to the conference finals is pretty good compared to before where
mm-hmm.
you were going up, you didn't have home field advantage, etc. So they may get to the Eastern Conference Finals without Ben doing anything that hasn't already done in the playoffs before.
Yeah. I'm only irritated because it just feels like it's being shoved down our throat.
Well, it is.
That's my only thing. Okay, if you go out and win it, go ahead and win it. But this whole I'm the best defensive player in the game and all this, dude, bitch, shut up. Shut up and score and shoot.
Yo, I'm defensive player of the year. I'm not even questioning it right now. I know I am. That's a fact. No, it's not a fact, Ben.
I got Draymond saying he's the greatest defensive player ever.
Yeah,
I got this guy. All these clutch guys. This is your boy's fault.
Your
boy started it.
Yeah.
Hey, who was self-proclaiming himself the GOAT?
He is the GOAT.
Wait, does he need to tell everybody?
Jordan tells people.
No, he doesn't.
No, he never does. Wilt did. I mean, Wilt did the same thing. That's what they do. Honestly, like. Now
all these clutch clients.
Yeah, now it's clutch and LeBron. Everything's LeBron's fault. But this is now this I think is interesting.
Yeah.
This is the third guy on the team now that is like all about the personal accolades. And I know the championship, whatever, and it's important to get personal accolades, but
mm-hmm.
the Toby All-Star campaign, the Ben Defensive Player of the Year campaign, and now Embiid's going on
MVP. Right.
He's going on a low post to talk about his Embiid, how he's the real MVP, even though he's played like 18 games less than Jokic. Like I think he's in the MVP consideration, but it just annoys me that it feels like they're pulling in different directions rather than one because they're having a great season.
And for the first time, the Toby I'm an All-Star thing irritated me.
Yeah, well,
just now, it just irritated me.
I'm an All-Star.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
Everyone calm down. You guys are great players, but, like, we got –
Yeah, like, come on.
They should have right. their goals set higher than, like, having one good year of having an MVP, DP, Defensive Player of the Year, and All-Star. Like, there's higher goals than that.
And also keep this in mind, then we'll move on back to the phones here. That remember, was it? I guess it was last week Joel Embiid said that he wants Ben to be aggressive.
Yes.
And this is like the yearly, we want Ben to be more aggressive on offense, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not paying attention to Doc telling us we're worried about it. Your team's worried about it, Doc. Trust us.
Yeah.
Trust us. Joel Embiid knows what this team looks like when Ben disappears on offense.
Defensive
be putting it on us, man.
Defensive player of the year. Kyrie had 37. Yeah, but he was a minus. And we won.
Well, and now he's doing the other thing in this article about how, like, you guys don't know the game if you don't understand this.
Oh, that's my favorite. Read that one for me, Jack. You got to hear this one.
Yeah, he said, Yeah, he said, the thing with people is that they think they know something so well. And this guy thinks he knows basketball so well. And that may be because he watches games, but does he really know the game? Did he grow up playing the game? Has he been in different situations? Has he run the point guard position? Has he played at this level? Like, everybody wants to feel like they know the game, and that's just not the case. Draymond Green says it all the time. That's not the case. Not everyone knows something about something or as much as they think they know. And for me, I can't worry about that because right now we're first in the Eastern Conference. If I was doing something completely wrong, I don't think we'd be in that position. Right now we're sitting in first and hopefully going to end first this season. As long as I keep my mind straight and focus on the things I need to worry about, my team, my teammates, then we're fine.
There you go.
No one knows the game.
No one knows the game.
And he's a big wine drinker, Ben. Specifically a big Merlot fan.
Ooh. Ooh.
But not rosé.
That's LeBron's fault. The wine movement in the NBA.
He's
is
a big wine
LeBron's
fan.
Fault.
How old is he? Yeah, he's been drinking wine for years.
Well, he appreciates a grape. Okay. Yeah.
I guess.
Let's not go back down the fruit trail again.
Yeah. Although it's weird. Like, I think wine's disgusting, but I love grapes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And I love grapes, and I'm not a wine
and
guy.
You don't like, yeah. Yeah. And I'd be more Ike. I like grapes, but I'm not. Unless it's a really, like, light, like, you know.
So should it be sweet or should it be bitter? Should it have
sweet.
A bite?
Sweet. Like, my wife and her friends drink the really sweet white wine.
Okay.
It's like you're drinking a wine cooler.
Right. That would be me.
Yeah, that's not like a real wine. That's a wine drinkers aren't drinking that. I'm getting it out of it. You know, it's like $12 for what is it, the cake?
Yeah.
What is it called? Yeah, whatever jug.
I know what you're talking about, cupcake.
That's yeah,
what,
yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like a big jug of that. I'll get two of them. The girls are set for the day. My wife and her friends are set.
Two jugs for the day?
Yeah.
They're getting it in over there.
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? They'll chug that wine. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville on Route 309 online, marks-jewelers.com. Eagles now being connected to trading up in the draft by multiple reporters now.
What would they be trading up for? What do you think?
Surtain.
You think it is a corner?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a wide receiver.
Yeah, right? You're
not
trading
stupid.
That. Yeah.
That'd be stupid to trade the 9 or 8 to get a wide receiver where you're sitting at 6?
Right.
But I guess you got to wait. Like, what are the chances Surtain's there at 12? If you had to say right now, what are the chances Surtain is there at 12?
25%.
Right. Yeah, he's probably not. I mean, you would need other things to fall. Like, the Cowboys would either have to take an offensive lineman or move up to get Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Unless they – well, the guy we had on yesterday was Tony Pauline.
Yeah.
He thought they liked J.C. Horn a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, everybody just thinks that Horn is going to be there. Like, even, like, it's kind of like my argument today.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, like, a guy like Rashawn Slater, maybe he slides all the way down towards the bottom of the teens, right? Because,
right.
He's not viewed as really being the second tackle. Like, Tony said that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Some teams look at him as a center or a guard, so they're not going to use that type of draft capital to get him. So another offensive lineman could slide up. But with J.C. Horn, all it takes is the Giants to say, we love him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone at 11. Or to Dallas to say, no, we want him over Surtain. So,
and you got to think, with the amount of receivers in this division, despite the ones that are on our team.
Yeah, the other team.
Everyone else has good weapons, not
us.
But they got to be looking for corners, too.
Yes.
Like right? Like, the other team's got to be looking for corners,
well, when
too.
When you see Rager, J-Jaw, and Fulgham, you got to start planning.
That's why I said despite our receivers. But Washington has to worry about Dallas's receivers and – Dallas has to worry about the Giants receivers, and Washington added Curtis Samuel to go along with Terry McLaurin. So,
yep.
I mean.
They upgraded. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the question is, stay at 12, trade up. And Ike, it's most people are saying to stay at 12, at least 52% on the online poll on Twitter. And a lot of our phone callers at 215-592-9494 are saying stay put at 12, including Lewis in West Philly. What's up, Lou?
Hey guys, how's it going? Hey,
what's up, Lou?
I just want to know. I was already depressed, and y'all talking about the Sixers. Now I feel like there's a hole in my chest because I'm like, do these guys think we're stupid? Like, we're all sitting here saying, "Hey, he should have a jump shot," and everyone's vehemently denying this. And
right.
Now I feel like I'm stupid because maybe he has whatever. Now I'm depressed.
Maybe he's
but anyway,
right.
Let's talk about the Eagles. Right. It was like, but anyway, so. When I'm looking at the Eagles, talking about I think the best point over the last few weeks, Ike actually made it when he said that the brightest light at this tunnel is that you know that the history of the Eagles is they don't stay down for long. That is the only positive thing that I've actually been able to hear that makes sense. Because other than that, when you look at the history of the Eagles, specifically in the draft, I am not hopeful about it at all. When we pick in this area, we typically miss. The last really good hit was Fletcher Cox. But there's no defensive line or offensive lineman that I would feel comfortable taking at that spot straight up. The likelihood that they move up, like you guys are saying, for a skill position player is super low because they never do it. Everyone was talking about last year how they wanted how they wanted Patrick Queen. The Eagles don't take linebackers in the first round. Yeah, they just don't do it.
I think that was last year.
Last year. Because there was a lot of the guys that were saying they had the Eagles taking them, and Ike said the Eagles don't use first-round draft picks on linebackers.
The pigs will fly before they pick a linebacker in the first round. And Patrick Queen clearly turned out pretty well for the Ravens. But, I don't want us to move back any further. I wouldn't have moved back at all in the first point, because anytime the Eagles try to get cute in the draft, we end up with Marcus Smith. So I feel like the best mode of action the Eagles could be making moving forward is to pick good players. Don't try to think about it too much. Don't try to get cute. Don't try to, we need to get this guy because this guy fits our system a little bit better than that guy. Just get talent. We have so many holes in the team because they refuse to just pick players that are talented, that have produced at the college level. They want to do something extra and try to get cute, and we end up with the Marcus Smiths of the world.
Yep.
That has been the history. I have to imagine, man, that they realize somewhere they've gone wrong with their method to putting together their draft board or executing the draft board, right? They over the last 2 years, or even if they just go since the Super Bowl. I think the first year after the Super Bowl, I think we only had like four or five picks. One of those years we didn't have any picks, really. Was that the year we traded out of the first round? Yeah, because of the Wentz trade. So, but if they just look at their drafts since the Super Bowl, you have to be reevaluating your formula for picking. And here's the one thing I will say. I haven't talked a lot about this because I wanted to sort of save it to now, and I don't think I've heard anybody else bring it up, so I think it's safe to bring up on the Marks and Reese show.
Yes.
I do feel a little positive with the Sirianni coaching regime, and here's why going into the draft. They've been a part of the draft with Chris Ballard. Could they possibly bring some of that here? At least from a philosophy standpoint, right? Maybe on draft night, Howie does what he does, but when it goes to setting up the draft board, really the work is setting up your draft board, putting the players ranked in the proper positions, and then you let the draft fall to you. All you're doing is marking off each name as a team drafts them. And it should be fairly simple. Based on your priority for position of needs, you decide going into the draft. Our number one priority is corner or DN or wide receiver. Or if you take those three or old linemen, you rank those 1, 2, 3, and 4, right, as your primary need. And then you say, okay, these are the players, right? And we got to rank the players. Where would they rank at in the top 50? Okay, well, you know if the fifth-ranked player on your draft board has somehow fallen to you and it falls into your category of position of need, why would you take the 20th-ranked player? Because you know his dad, right? Like, what are we doing? Like, take the player that is ranked correctly on your board. So I have to hope that Nick Sirianni and his staff, both offensively and defensively, since they've been a part of good drafts under Chris Ballard, maybe they bring some of that with them here. Because do they get to have say on the type of players they want in their system?
Well, it is interesting. There was a video that the Colts put out after the draft last year with Sirianni in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they brought him in specifically because when they drafted Michael Pittman. And
they were talking about him,
And Sirianni was like begging them to get Michael Pittman, and it turned out he was a good player. So
see, that's what you got to do, man. And this is where Howie, if reports are true, and Jeffrey Lurie, if reports are true, man, you got to trust the people that you got in position, that you've hired, that has been a part of successful drafts, that may have had, and obviously just based off that video, they had input. Chris Ballard, who we all think is a good GM, valued that input. They agreed, and they take a guy. Like, we can't have, no, I want this guy, he wants that guy. Well, we're going with you.
No, exactly.
Right? We can't have that, man.
You need to, whenever you set your final draft board, mm-hmm. everybody needs to be on the same page of this is what we're doing. You may disagree. If you're a scout, you may disagree if you're the coach. But, like, you need to know going into the draft, this is what we're doing. And we're not going
we're not
off
deviating
of
from it, yes.
Because what's been reported is that everybody thinks they're on the same page, and then draft night happens.
Yeah.
And then Howie freaks out and he does something they weren't supposed to do, right? Like, that's how you get bust.
I'll give you another example, John, real quick. Justin Jefferson pick. When Minnesota made that pick, did it look like some people were in there were like, oh, I didn't really want Justin Jefferson? No, they were all throwing a damn party because they were all on the same page when that pick was made. I don't know what the reaction was like when the Eagles selected Jalen Reagor. Was everybody excited? Or were some people scratching their head like, oh, man, I can't believe they made that pick?
Well, I mean, it's been reported that, I mean, it got out that there was a couple people that wanted, like, it was the coach wanted the coach and was it Howie? I mean, it was signed off by them.
It was split, right.
Right, but there were other people.
There were some that wanted Jefferson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess Doug was listening to Marks and Reese, Jack Fritz. He got scared off of Justin Jefferson.
Me and Rich Scangarello, baby.
Yeah, Scangarello.
Oh, that's right.
Jack.
They blamed that one on Scangarello.
Yeah, Scangarello had been here for a minute, and they were like, you know what? You're going to make our first-round pick, Rich.
Yes. Yes, a failed offensive coordinator in Denver.
And that's exactly when Doug said, I'm out. You know what? I'm not taking game plan advice from you or anything.
Well, Doug got his wish when they took Hurtsy in the second round. So he made up for it.
Jeez, man.
Remember his face? Remember the smile he had when they took Jalen Hurts?
So happy. Yeah. Yeah.
I will have something on my face
Doug's
for
like,
sure.
Yeah, get Carson out of here, that jerk. Right? 215
He had a look on his face like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, let's see if you like this.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
He had the Doug Eaton grin on his
How's
face.
How's that, Ginger Jesus?
Yeah, but you know what? Even with Reagor, they looked so happy that they got Reagor.
Right.
And you know what that is? That is overthinking mm-hmm. it. That is not taking the guy. Like, if you really had Jalen Reagor that high on your draft board compared to some of the other
nobody else did.
He's a second-round draft pick. 215-592-9494. Stay put at 12 or trade up. We'll also throw something cool into the mix from the 90s because it's a notable 90s
legend. I love the 90s.
Oh, yeah, man, that's our life, Mike. We haven't lived since the 90s, right? I haven't watched a movie since the 90s or listened
Mike
to music
said my
since
shirt
the
90s. Reminded him of the 90s.
That's not a compliment, by the way.
No, I didn't think it was.
Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.